If you have a box that you forgot at home this morning, you're welcome to bring that back. Janice will deliver these, I believe, on Tuesday morning is when they'll be delivered. So if you have one yet, feel free to bring it in. She'll grab it here yet. With that, let us turn in your pew Bible this morning to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. This is the parable of the talents. And so the name of my message this morning is The Unprofitable Servants. And so we get to learn about that today. As we know, Jesus tells this story. Now, this story goes specifically to his disciples. It doesn't go out to the general public. And so he meets with his disciples and he speaks this parable to them. And so we get the benefit of that today in the Holy Scriptures. And let's read together as I read to you. Follow along in your Bible. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he who will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here this morning, may you enlighten us with your Holy Spirit, and may you bring these words out of Scripture to life, that all may hear and grow in their faith and knowledge of you. May we learn to apply this to our own lives today. Lord, may you fill me with that same Spirit as I give this message to your people. May these words be your words and never mine. In Jesus I pray these things. Amen. How many of you have ever asked yourself this question? What am I going to do with my life? Maybe when you were a senior in high school, the career counselor maybe helped you answer that question. Maybe in the midst of a great crisis within your life or within your family, You found yourself asking, "What am I going to do now?" There can be those times in prayer when it's very natural to ask God, "What am I going to do with my life?" During a transition from one season of life to another, let me just point out a few of those transitions that might cause you to ask the same question. When you transition from childhood into adulthood, or in midlife, or at retirement, there is a need to look back at where we've been and try to get our bearings as to where do we go from here with our lives. What will you do with the next 10, 20, or 40 years that the good Lord has given you on this earth? That's the question. So the story that Jesus tells us this morning in the text that we just read sets forth the essential answers to those kinds of questions in your life. I don't know of any better summary of what life is all about than the one Jesus gives here in Matthew 25. So hold on to that thought this morning as we go through this message. We know that the story is about a man who goes on a long journey. We assume that he's some kind of a large landowner or a businessman who has many hired men, and he entrusts those things to their care. And before he leaves, he marks out what they're responsible for. Here's your duty. Take care of this, he says. Two of those servants are faithful masters. They're faithful to their master, and they desire to please him in their life with what they've been entrusted to. One is not. And you know which one it is as we read. And so the master returns. He requires each servant to give an account of what he has done with the property that's been entrusted to them. They stand before him. What have you done with what I've given you? That's the question he proposes. The two faithful servants done well and were rewarded. The third, an unfaithful servant, he's cast out. You read that at the end of verse 30 there, and we're reading that. And so my point is that one day there will be a point of reckoning in all of our lives. You will stand before the great master, the heavenly father, and you will answer for everything you have done, left undone, and so on. And I want to prepare you for that day. That's what this message is about. That's the question that I just presented up to there a little bit ago. What will you do with your life? Knowing that this day is coming for all of us. And you meet that day when you leave this earth, or unless Jesus returns first. And you can see that in Matthew 25, verse 19, if you read the scripture. He will settle all accounts. Now, there's love and there's grace in there, and I'm assuming you understand and know that. So I preach from that point this morning, that we have a loving God and a forgiving God that's full of grace. He knows you're a sinner. You'll never be without sin in your life, ever. It will always be there. But you're going to answer for those things that you've done or left undone in your life. And so I want to consider some lessons this morning about this parable in our own lives. And so let's dig into this just a little bit. First, the Lord has entrusted to each and every one of us certain resources, certain gifts, and he's given all of us opportunities to use those things in the kingdom of God. Each and every one of you has a gift. Each and every one of you will be presented with an opportunity or opportunities, plural, in your life as you live this life out. It's what the Bible speaks of. When we hear the word talent, we do not think of the same talent as maybe what the disciples thought of when Jesus was telling this story to them. When you think of talent today, we often associate the word talent with a natural ability or a natural gift that God has bestowed upon you. But in this story, the word talent is a unit of money. Let me test your memory. For you that have been with us and we've seen these parables, what's a talent worth? You got to go back a few sermons. Anybody remember? A denarius is a day's wage. A talent is how much? 40 years' wage. Very good. How many of you were close, right? So it's a lifetime worth of work is what a talent is worth. It's a large sum of money. Remember I talked about that and the value that Christ did in that other parable we talked about? We see that same unit of money come into this. But it's used a little bit differently today in this parable. And here's the point. The talent that Jesus talks about when he speaks with his disciples in your life, in other words, you and I have been given and entrusted with a generous amount of resources. You've been entrusted with a generous amount of gifts in your life. You've been entrusted with a generous amount of opportunities in your life, all from Jesus. A talent's worth, a lifetime worth of gifts and opportunities to use in the kingdom of God. How many of you are a little overwhelmed right now knowing that, my gosh, that much? Yes, that much. Some will be given more. You'll be given gifts at different time in your life as you mature, you grow in the faith, and they'll change. Some will come and go. That's normal. That's natural when you're living in the will of God in your life. But the point that Jesus is trying to make is you're going to get just a grunt load of these opportunities and talents and gifts to use in your lifetime. But in the midst of this parable, there comes a warning. A warning from Jesus about this whole grunt load of gifts and opportunities and so on that you have in your life. There's a warning in the middle of this. And I want to point that out. And this is our take home today when you think about this. Now, I'm not here to point out an individual or whatever, but you need to take account for your own life. You're not to judge the person sitting next to you or the person that's a pew in front of you. Boy, if they would just use their gift, they'd be so much better. No, that's not how it works. Today you hold up the mirror and you look at your own life. All right? That's how it's going to work today. This is where kind of where the warning comes for us. The first two servants managed their talents well. They prospered. They doubled them. They were blessed by God when they used them for growth and for the kingdom of God, in other words. And so we have two examples to follow here this morning, knowing that the first two did well. They had used what the master had given them. Pick up on that line that I said there, just that's important for you to know. They had used what the master had given them. And we have the first two that are great examples that we should be following, the things that we should be doing. But the third is the lesson that we should never do. That's the hard one. And so let me explain that just a little bit to you this morning as we unpack that. He was judged for failing to use what he had. Not his return. He was judged for failing to use what he had. How much have you been given? A talent's worth. A lot. And Jesus' warning here is to the third person, I've given you a tremendous amount, but you didn't use any of it. You didn't use any of it for my kingdom. And so let me ask you this. What resources, what gifts, what abilities, what natural talents has God given you? With a big question mark on the end. Get that mirror out now and start looking at your own life and realizing where you are and where you live and the things you do and the people you know and stuff like that. Are you using those talents that God has given you to build the kingdom of God? Are you using them in the church? Are you using them in the community in which you live in? Are you using them in the places you work? The places you associate? Your coworkers? Your entertainment, and da-da-da down the line. Are you using the talents that God has given you? That's the question that you're going to face when we stand before God someday. Now, you're not going to be perfect. Thank goodness for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes over us. But you are commanded to do what you can do as you live life on this earth. That's the lesson that we deal with here this morning that Jesus says to his disciples. More or less, he's saying, you have some work to do. You've been given ability. You've been given talents. Now you get out there and you do it. That's what he's saying to us this morning. And so let me just go a little bit deeper theologically with you this morning. So, Rob, are you saying to us that if we don't use our gifts and our resources for God, our salvation could be at stake and that we will be judged upon that basis? What have you learned in the Reformed Church? How do you have salvation? By what alone? Grace. Very good. You've done well. But here's the second hook that's just as important that you need to know and you need to understand, because sometimes I think as Christians we hang too hard on grace. And thank God for grace, because it covers all the shortness and all the shortcomings that you and I have in our lives. But here's the lesson that he gives us this morning. So doesn't salvation come from having faith in God and his grace alone? The answer is yes and no. Let me explain the no to you. James 2, 14 through 17, it's on the screen. I don't have the complete verses up there, but I have the gist of what those scriptures are, and we take a few words from here and then we put it together. This is what it should say to your life. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? All right, now deeds are the things that you do with the talent that God's given you. That's the deeds in your life. Faith by itself, which you just told me you're saved by grace alone, which you all agree with. But then look what the Bible says as it goes on. If it is not accompanied by action, it is what? Dead. That's tough to hear. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make to his disciples. You believe in me. I get that you believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and that grace will bring us salvation. But grace and having the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life will lead you to want to do works, deeds, to use your talents that God has given each and every one of you. Don't be judging your neighbor right now. It's back to you and I. A lot of times we don't see the deeds that go on or the things that God, how God is using the person next to you or the neighbor next to you or somebody in the pew. We don't always understand how God's working the way he does. He's always at work. But you need to examine your own life and how you're doing. And so let me ask you this morning. We've all agreed that we believe in Jesus and that we have the faith and that we're saved by grace. But how many of us are dead? Think about that. How many of us are dead? How many of us are partially dead? Maybe all of us could put our hand up to that, right? There's work we could do to improve in our lives. Now, I'm not asking you that you got to give up your job or you got to quit going to so-and-so, whatever, because God uses you in those situations, but he wants you to apply your gifts and talents to where he's placed you. And for us to learn that, I think, is so important this morning. That's exactly what the problem is with the third servant. He's dead. He believed in the master, but he did nothing with the talents that were given him. Faith will come first, and then you'll be motivated to use your gifts in this life. So I often ask this question, how do you know if somebody's a believer in Christ? What are the outward signs in somebody who lives life, and you can tell that person's a believer? Do you see the fruits of the Spirit? Love, kindness, gentleness, joy, faithfulness, the list goes on. Do you see how they speak or how they talk, the words that they use, no matter if it's Sunday or if it's Wednesday noon and things aren't going very well at work. Do you see that in their lives? Does it look, does Sunday morning look the same as Friday night? In their life and how they act and how they live? Those are the things you'll see. They will produce fruit in their lives. Godly fruit. And so this morning, I want to call yourself, me, onto the carpet and ask ourselves, how are we doing? What does that look like in my life right now today? Am I producing fruit in the way that the Lord wants me to produce fruit? Am I using the gifts that he's given me that to further his kingdom? And so how do we be servants 1 and 2? That's a good question to ask this morning. How do we be servants 1 and 2 and please the Lord as we wait for his return? Because this world is not easy to live in. All kinds of things go on. So we please the Lord by taking risks by what God has given us. Did you hear that? We are expected to so trust God that we will risk in opportunities that he gives us. Most people are afraid to risk. How many of you are afraid to risk sometimes because of the opportunity that Christ has given you? I'm right there with you. And if you didn't put your hand up, I'd like to meet with you after church because I got stuff for you to do. Yeah, risk. See, that's the point Jesus is telling us. He'd rather have you lose it all, but take the risk. And then see how he blesses you. I think the church today, especially in America, has quit risking. We're afraid to step out. We're afraid to tell people what we believe in and the goodness that we can bring others who are hurting and broken and have no hope today. Because the church is afraid to risk. Who's the church, people? You and I. That's the problem today. So often we like to be that third person in this story. It's comfortable. It's easy. But that's not what Jesus calls us to. Let me explain to you verse 30 today. A little bit here. So you are called to live by faith, not in fear. The song we sang this morning, remember that first one? Fear is a liar. Who's fear in that message? It's Satan, right? That's exactly the point I want to get at today, because fear will hold you trapped. And God says, I want you to risk for the kingdom of God in your life. Step out. I don't care if you lose everything. I've got this all in control. He wants you to risk. He does not want you to live in fear. Notice the picture on the screen this morning of David and Goliath. David risked in his life. With the slingshot. Some of you want to show up with the bazooka and guns and everything else, right? And he came with a slingshot. He risked in his life. Some of you need to risk a little more in your life today. Here's the hard part about this. You see that in this parable, living in fear of not using your gifts is a sin. That's hard. That is difficult for us. So you're saying, Rob, that if I don't use my gifts, that I'm sinning? And I'm going to say yes to that today. You are committing a sin when you don't use your gifts for the kingdom of God that God has bestowed upon you. How many of you have ever thought about that as a sin in your life? See, notice what happens with the third person when he says to them, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Where do you think there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Hell. It describes hell. And that's what Jesus is saying in the parable. If you don't get used what I've given you, you will be cast into hell. Even though that servant believed, he had faith, but he never had deeds. There's the warning. It describes hell. And so Jesus says, I want you to risk. It's okay if you lose it all. Don't live in fear, ever, because God has it under control. And that's for all aspects of your life today. Some of you are going through hard things. You've lost loved ones. Some of you are doing well and life's going okay. But God says, I want you to risk because I got this all under control. Have faith. Believe in me. The word that he says is true, that you'll have eternal life someday. But get out there and work, he says. Notice what it goes on to say in the next few verses. If you got your pew Bible open, go back a couple verses into verses 26 and 27. I want to point out a couple key words to us today. He said to his master when Jesus replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Those are pretty harsh words as he speaks them. And so what that means, when he says you're wicked, that pretty much means that there are no excuses when you stand before God on that day of judgment. That's what he's saying to him. Now get this. If you're going to stand before God, you're already going to have salvation and entered into the kingdom of heaven. Because if you don't have salvation, you won't get to stand before God, because you'll be on the other side getting judged down there. That's reality. But he says there's no excuses. I want you to live full out. There's this saying in the high school level, and it's caught on within our boys, and some of you will know that. You ever heard of full send? Go all in? That's what Jesus wants you to do in your life. Young people out there, I know what you know what I'm talking about. You go full send into God. You don't hold back. That's what he wants. Then get this. Then he goes on to call him lazy. He called him lazy because that was the real reason he did nothing with the talent. He didn't want to. He didn't feel like it. Are some of us lazy with what God has bestowed upon us? And there probably are some of us that are lazy. And we need to get to work in our faith life. James 2, verse 26 on the bottom of your screen. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The two go together. They're side by side. They always will be to the end, till Jesus returns. Let me ask you another question as we finish up. How many of you have ever been to a surprise party? Anybody been to a surprise birthday party or anniversary party or something like that in your life? You know, we can all relate to those types of things. Here's what I want you to know this morning in this message. You've heard the word of God and what you have to do. I do not want Judgment Day to be a surprise party for you. I don't want that to happen to any of us. I want you to go in fully knowing that God loves you and that you've done your best with the gifts and talents that God has given you. And may you be at peace with those things. That's what I want for you. May your day of judgment be of great reward to you as you pass into the presence and into heaven. That's what I want for each and every one of us. You won't get it all right. You'll have some mistakes, but God's grace will cover those things. Know that you're loved, but what I want you to do is try. And that's what Jesus says, try. And all of God's people said,